Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It is 3:02, 2 minutes after the top of the hour here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I am Michael B., Michael Behrman of the Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The call-in number, 718-305-7176. Give us a call now. We have a great show lined up today at 3:35. I had been putting out 3:15 because I wanted people here early, but at 3:35. Senator Dan Patrick, who is running for Texas Lieutenant Governor. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk a little bit about that race. We've got TJ Fabby running in a runoff down in House District 10. We've got Stephanie Click, who is our current House of Representative that's going to be joining us in from House District 91 at 4. We've got Fran Rhodes, Vice President of Northeast Tarrant Tea Party at 4:15. We've got Kelly Cann, Vice President of Arlington Tea Party at 3:45. 4:45. Looks like my call has come on. Scott, if you'll check that area code, I believe that's our call. We could go ahead and take him if we have to, but I want to knock out real quick my monologue today. And I did this last month, but I wrote this, and I wanted it to be a part of the show today with who it is that I've got coming on the show. And the piece is called Remember the Alamo, Remember Goliad. In the annals of Texas history, no singular month or year stands out in the minds of a true-hearted Texan that of March or April of 1836. For it is that moment in history that the course of Mexico, Texas, and America would change, and the world at large would come to know the spirit of a Texan. The world would recount the triumphant calls from William Barrett Travis penning his victory or death letter, and the fate of 189 valiant and noble men who gave their lives in the cause of human liberty on March 6, 1836. What the world would not remember with as much fondness has been left to the footnotes of history is that infamous battle at Goliad, where about 450 men were defeated. And the, very good, and the Mexicans would burn, throw them in a heap and burn them. On March 27, 1836, General Jose Antonio Mejia, under the orders of Mexican President and General Antonio Lopez de Cienana, executed in cold blood 350 to 450 Texans, including Colonel James W. Fannin. After the execution, the bodies were burned. The remains were left exposed to weather, vultures, and coyotes until June 3rd in 1836, when General Thomas Rusk, who had established his headquarters at Victoria after San Jacinto, was passing through Goliad in pursuit of General Vicente Filosola, his retreating army, and gathered the remains and buried them with military honors. Out of those two singular events in March 1836, the Texans found their rallying cry, remember the Alamo, remember Goliad. And under the command of General Sam Houston, they would defeat Santa Anna and his army at San Jacinto. The Texans took the lives of 630 Mexican regulars and captured 730, a number that totaled more than the Texan army. The forces of war also placed the author of all their troubles and calamities, Santa Anna himself, in the possession of the Texans, and instead of sacrificing him to the spirit of revenge, as was their right to do, the Texans instead set him free along with his countrymen. It is that spirit, that vein, that fortitude, and that passion that conservative grassroots activists support candidate Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor, candidate Ken Paxton for attorney general, candidate Wayne Christian for railroad commission, and candidate Sid Miller for agriculture commissioner. We do so because it is those men, those candidates, those patriots who in the same vein and desire for human liberty and freedom have placed themselves before Texans ready to battle the enemies of liberty, the enemies of freedom, those who would impose tyranny upon us. As a fourth generation Texan, one whose antecedent was attorney general for the Republic of Texas under Sam Houston from 1841 to 1844. One whose second great-grandfather was running for governor of Texas until he met an untimely death in 1920 and would have otherwise been the governor of Texas. One whose forefathers fought the Battle of San Jacinto. A son of the Republic of Texas. I willingly serve the candidates I support and endorse. I do so out of love of my state of Texas. I do so out of love for my country, America. And I do so out of love for the future of Texas and my children. That is Remember the Alamo, Remember Goliad. You can find that on my blog at conservativenationmedia.com. We've got some other news that I want to talk about, namely Wendy Davis. Interesting news that came out last week. Let's pull in the Oz man, my brother Scott Osborne, and see what he has to bring to the table today. Brother Scott, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good, Michael. It's good talking to you. Boy, I have to just ditto you. We serve our candidates. We're there to help them do the best they can win to save, keep Texas, Texas, and in doing so, keep the United States, the United States. And, boy, I'm going to pass it back to you because you're right. Boy, Wendy Davis is not having a real good week this week, and neither is Battleground Texas. I think they've really backfired on themselves.
Well, Scott, you know, you saw the news. You and I enjoyed getting to post that news, which came from the none other than the Washington Post. No, Wendy Davis is not a top-tier challenger. It seems earlier this week, Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin, chairman of the Democrat Governors Association, that the signaled that the Texas race was not top priority for his group, which is those Democrat governors. Of course, they're hopeful that in Texas, that she wins, but they were candid about the fact that Democrats haven't won Texas in a long time. Let's define a long time. It's been since 1992 when Ann Richards won the governorship, which she only won because Clayton Williams opened his mouth and said the wrong thing. But it's been, I don't know what they consider a generation. I guess I would consider that maybe two generations. There has not been a single Democrat in statewide office here in Texas. And it's not going to change. You're right, Scott. Battleground Texas thought they could change it with the changing demographics. What they fail to understand is Tejanos. Okay, now, Tejanos, people don't understand the makeup of Texas. You know, yes, we're a border state. Yes, we have a problem with illegal immigrants coming over our border from Mexico, but the vast majority actually come from South Central and South America that are native to the land just south of us, and that doesn't even include the Arabs that are going into Mexico and coming across, or the folks that overstay their visas, like, you know, some Irish folks and Europeans and whatnot. You know, so it's an overall problem. It's just, you know, the left likes to portray our side when we say illegal immigrant, you know, that's code for Mexican. Well, in Texas, you have Tejanos, which are my brothers and sisters, many of whose ancestors fought alongside my ancestors against a centralist tyrant because right. they wanted freedom. They wanted to live in a land where they were free to exercise their rights and do what they wanted. So while the vast majority of Hispanic folks do vote Democrat, there's some interesting facts that people need to look at. If you poll Tejanos, okay, now, and when I use the word Tejano, I'm talking about Texans of Hispanic descent, of Mexican descent, but that have been in Texas for generations, longer than my ancestors. And these folks are, by and large, very conservative. They don't do party identity. They tend to vote Democrat mainly because the left has scared them so badly that they tend to blindly vote Democrat. But the fact of the matter is, if you poll them, they overwhelmingly, 45% identify themselves as conservative. The point in case there is the race in South Texas where Wendy Davis lost 17 of the South Texas counties in the Rio Grande Valley to a conservative Democrat who spent $0. So, you know, I guess where I'm going with that is we need to do a little bit better marketing, a little bit a better branding on our part. But that was the news earlier this week, and the ironic thing about it was Wendy Davis's campaign manager came out and said, well, what do those desk jockeys in New England know about Texas anyway? Directly insulting Governor Peter Shumlin. I don't know. You know, this is a very weak candidacy. I think early on when Battleground Texas was huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf, I think we were a little nervous, but I think we know now that not only is Wendy Davis going to lose, but this is going to probably be the worst loss a Democrat has ever had in the great Lone Star State. I'm going to hand it back over to you, Scott.
Well, and I agree, Michael. And not only that, I would say that they've been doing our bidding for us. You know, one of the first things that you told me about Texas when we started talking about moving here is that the Democrats are not liberals. They're not far-left nut jobs. And they have come – Battleground Texas came in here acting like the Democrats all agreed with them. They attacked our ROTC. They attacked the guns. They attacked everything that a San Francisco or a New York City liberal would attack. And it didn't go over well. And, you know, the latest news on this is Wendy Davis has rehired a new communications director. And the first thing he did was put his tweet in his mouth. Yesterday, General Abbott ended up having a hard time getting to an event because of some bad weather. And he tweeted out before he knew what was going on that General Abbott was a chicken. And, you know, they better hire better people than that. I'm along the lines of let's keep that guy. He's going to do us more of the good bidding. But I really agree with you, Michael. I think that we're going to really have a giant landslide this November. Right now we've been working and focusing on the primaries. We've been not really getting into a big debate between the differences between Wendy Girl and Greg Abbott. I think as we get down towards the brass tacks of November, there's going to be more and more Democrats that realize she does not represent anything that they really stand for here in Texas.
No, absolutely not. Hey, listen, I'm up against the break. Let me do this real quick. Hey, folks, let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com. You're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always...
Lies, deceit, and cover-ups. That's the Obama administration's response to the terrorist attack that killed four Americans. And now parents of the victims are demanding the truth from Obama.
Well, I know there was a cover-up. I had to get my information from outside sources because the government would not tell me. And Hillary said that what difference does it make? It makes one big difference to me. My son was killed.
Four men with careers protecting American security were murdered, and Barack Obama doesn't even act concerned.
His eyes were looking over my shoulder like he could not look me in the eye. And it was not a sincere, I'm really sorry, you know, that your son died.
Enough of the lies. Enough of the cover-ups. It's time to hold Barack Obama accountable. Paid for and authorized by the Conservative Campaign Committee.
All right, here I am, proud to be a Texan, with my blood brother, Sid Miller. And if you want to keep Texas as the last best place, if you want to keep Texas, Texas, visit SidMillerForTexas.com. In fact, make that MillerForTexas.com. Go to MillerForTexas.com and make a donation so that my blood brother, Sid Miller, becomes the Ag Commissioner of Texas. Because Texas is the best. Let's keep it the best.
You're listening to the Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Every time I think of you, I feel a shock.
All right, this is the Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Folks, excuse me, I've got allergies this week. It is that time in Texas. It's 3:19. Actually, it's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Hey, guys, I want to ask you all to go to conservativenationmedia.nationbuilder.com/declaration, and I want you to read the unanimous declaration of ideological war against the anti-American and leftist forces by conservativenationmedia.com and sign that declaration. We have declared war on the American left. And, Scott, you know, I encouraged the president of our company and the general manager, my good friend, my partner, my business partner, Duke Brooks, to write that. Not just as, well, not at all as a, I don't know what you would call it, as a gimmick. It's something we've been talking about for 2 years, actually. And we were just waiting for the right time to do it. And I felt with the Texas primary and runoff being the first in the country, going into the midterms, a very important election, folks, we started changing the face. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this with Dan, with Senator Patrick when he gets on, because he's been the beneficiary of the Texas Tea Party's PAC. And I'll go into depth on that a little bit. You're probably wondering, what am I talking about? It's something that the Tea Party in Texas have been able to do that no other state's been able to replicate. And Senator Patrick was actually instrumental in part of that, and that's why he's the beneficiary and enjoys the position that he enjoys. But we did this declaration of war against the left, and people are signing it. It's hot. So I encourage people to go read it, sign it, publish it, and join us in our movement, Scott. I know that you signed it. You were the second person to sign it after me. What did you think about it?
Well, I thought it was excellent, and I think it's important, Michael. You know, as well as some of our listeners, we moved here 4 months ago because we wanted something different than the direction that the left is taking us, and that's defined between California and Texas. Mentioning that, I just have to throw this out here. Tim Donnelly, running for governor of Texas, has got a new ad campaign out. He calls it "Let's Mess with Texas." And he's got a picture of a big truck with a U-Haul with Governor Moonbeam's picture on it. And I think it's a great ad. I've already given him some ribbing about it, but I think it's a great ad because this last week Toyota has decided they're coming from California to Texas. My favorite hot sauce, Sriracha hot sauce, is moving from California to Texas. You know, Michael, they set up, they were invited into the community of Idlewood, and then they turned around and got mad at them because a hot sauce place smells like chili peppers. So they're coming to Texas. And what we stand for here in Texas is the same things that made this nation great. And so we are at war with the left. We don't want to go down that direction. If you want to go that direction, go move to Cuba. If you want to live in a society like that, don't try and change us. Move somewhere where they live like that. Because it is. It's a battle. And there's a lot of people in our country right now that would like to see that fundamental change. But, you know, we moved to from California to Texas. We worked really, really hard to get out of that kind of a mess. And they've got California in a mess. And California's got the same, almost the same everything as Texas does. It's got a lot of the same resources. It's got a lot of the same agriculture. It's got a lot of the same oil. I used to live in the oil area of California. But the left, if they get a hold of things, they always mess it up. So I thought it was great. I think Duke did an incredible job in writing that up, and I was proud to sign it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just real quickly, by the way, you probably noticed the song when we were coming in out of that soft break. It was by New Order. It was called Bizarre Love Triangle. Today's musical genre is that post-punk Manchester type era that came out of the bowels of the mid-70s punk era, you know, bands that came from New York, London, Manchester, you know, even Dublin. So that's the genre today, and it's actually inspired by my wife, who's about 8 years younger than me. So I've chosen all my music today. And stick around for the end of the show, because if you were in high school between 1978 or 82, or in college between those years, today's song, today's song made its rise in the early 80s after Gaddafi's rise in Libya, and was subsequently banned after its rebirth in the 2000s. So find out at the end of the show today, in a rare session version of that song that I have in my musical library, Scott. But no, you know, to what you were saying about folks moving here, I'm glad for that. I'm tickled to death. I just hope that Toyota doesn't bring the 3,000 liberals they had working with them, if they were
Amen.
All 3,000 liberals. You know, the company is escaping because of an oppressive government that overregulates business. The reason they're coming here is because they can't enjoy the profits they want to enjoy and give the benefit of a good job to their employees. If their employees come with them and vote out the government that we have worked so hard for over the last 20 years, then they're going to find themselves in a generation right back in the climate they left. Address that, Scott.
Well, and you're exactly. And you would think common sense would relegate that if you saw your company have to move out of one type of regulated society, and you were moving the company to another type so that you could make a better paycheck, the better Toyota does, the better paychecks they can offer, you would think that that would be a reason enough for them to stop and take a look at their own personal politics. And I'm really hoping that they're going to leave the majority of those people in California if they think they're going to come and change Texas and hire some Texans, because we understand here that when you leave business alone, it flourishes. It flourishes, folks. When you give people back their own money, people are better adept at spending their own money than government is. Government's wasteful. Just by the nature of the beast, it's wasteful. But I agree with you, Michael. If they're planning on bringing a bunch of liberals with them, they can just leave them there in California. If you notice, that I didn't pack up any liberals and bring them in the U-Haul with me.
No.
I brought three little girls that I'm going to tell you. Natalia, a while ago, was just sitting there, and she just sighed and went, Obamacare. Now, that came out of a five-year-old's mouth, so you know she's been listening to her uncle.
Absolutely. Hey, well, buddy, it's 26 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number 718-305-7176. That phone number that called just a minute ago is going to be calling back in. I'd like to go ahead, move into our hard break, knock it out, so I can start introducing our very next guest after this hard break. If you in the studio, Scott?
Sounds good.
Are you in the studio, buddy? Can you? Oh, yeah, you can see when he calls. Yeah.
I'll see when he calls.
When you see that call pop in, if you'll grab it, I am going to take us into our hard break, and we'll be right back with my friend, Senator Dan Patrick, for Lieutenant Governor of Texas.
Lies, deceit, and cover-ups. That's the Obama administration's response to the terrorist attack that killed four Americans. And now parents of the victims are demanding the truth from Obama.
Well, I know there was a cover-up. I had to get my information from outside sources because the government would not tell me. And Hillary said that what difference does it make? It makes one big difference to me. My son was killed.
Four men with careers protecting American security were murdered, and Barack Obama doesn't even act concerned.
His eyes were looking over my shoulder like he could not look me in the eye. And it was not a sincere, I'm really sorry, you know, that your son died.
Enough of the lies. Enough of the cover-ups. It's time to hold Barack Obama accountable. Paid for and authorized by the Conservative Campaign Committee.
All right, here I am, proud to be a Texan, with my blood brother, Sid Miller. And if you want to keep Texas as the last best place, if you want to keep Texas, Texas, visit SidMillerForTexas.com. In fact, make that MillerForTexas.com. Go to MillerForTexas.com and make a donation so that my blood brother, Sid Miller, becomes the Ag Commissioner of Texas. Because Texas is the best. Let's keep it the best.
You're listening to the Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Every time I think of you, I'm a shock. We'll be right back.
Scott, are we there, brother?
We're there.
All right, hang tight. Sorry I had to answer the phone, folks. It's my honor, my privilege to bring in our next guest. He was going to join us on the candidates fair a couple of weeks ago, but he got tied up doing what all candidates for lieutenant governor do. And that is a man, folks, and I'm not saying this because he's sitting on the line. I'm going to tell you, I was probably, if not the first, one of the first to pick up the phone within 30 seconds of Senator Patrick announcing that he was running for lieutenant governor after pressing him for months, encouraging him to run because I love this man. I love him. He's a brother of mine. He's been so kind to my wife. He's been so great for Texas, and he's going to win. He's the man that brought the Texas Tea Party Caucus to Austin, and he is perhaps going to go down in history as the beneficiary of that because Texas Tea Parties is a force to be reckoned with, and we're changing the face of Austin. Senator Dan Patrick, thank you so much, my brother. This is my greatest honor to have you on.
Well, Michael, you are too kind, and I will agree with one thing you said for sure. All of the other plaudits I'll just thank you for, but the one thing you did say that was absolutely 100% right, you were the first, as I recall, to call and say you wanted to help us in the campaign right after we announced almost a year ago, and I greatly appreciate that, and you are a good friend, and I thank you for everything. It's great to be with you today.
Well, Senator Patrick, there's a reason for that. It's because I'm a conservative grassroots activist, and you know I think you might be out Ted Cruz in 2012, and I mentioned the Tea Party Caucus in Austin. You were in fact the person that got that going and brought the Tea Parties together, and just a couple of quick questions. Scott has one for you, but I want people to get to know the Senator Patrick I know that sat on my back porch at my mom's yard on the lake and in a rocking chair. It was so great. And just one-on-one with folks. That Dan Patrick, that man that will talk to people unlike other candidates will do. You brought that to bear, and for that, Texas Tea Parties, all of the various Texas Tea Parties have come together in a way that I don't think any other state is enjoying. And you and Senator Paxton and Wayne Christian and Sid Miller are really enjoying the benefit of that, and rightfully so, because we want to change the face of the way politics is done, and y'all live, eat, breathe, and sleep what we want.
Well, Michael, first of all, no one's going to out-Cruz Ted Cruz, so he's the leader of the Tea Party in the state of Texas, and I salute him for that, his great victory and the great work he's doing in the Senate. What happened, just to bring your listeners up to speed, what happened back in 2009, let me check that. It was going into 2011 session, so two sessions ago. As the Tea Party really became of age, and I can remember, Michael, the first event in Houston, and folks, I represent West Harris County in the state Senate since 2007, have the most conservative record in the Senate since 2007 over the four sessions and 16,000 votes and top ratings from American Prosperity and Power Texans and kind of Texas Conservative Coalition kind of go down the list. And I'm proud to have kept that record. And we have many great conservatives, as you mentioned a couple of moments ago, and in the Senate now, Brian Birdwell, Donna Campbell, many others. In fact, we have the most conservative Senate in the history of the state this last session because of the grassroots. And we will this next session because of the grassroots. Everyone we reelect or elect is a conservative, so a grassroots conservative. It's just been a great change. But if I go back to 2011, going into that session, around 2009 is when I saw the Tea Party really begin to come of age, and it's even at a much, much more sophisticated and higher level today, Michael. But I back then when we had the big rallies and thousands of people would come out to events and speak, I decided that the Tea Party needed to not just go to rallies and talk and help get people elected, but to really understand the process of how things work. Because I believe the more that people know about their government, the better government we have. And I wanted them to understand the process of how bills work, how the Senate works, how the House works, not every detail, not, you know, every small minor detail, but overall a good understanding so that the people they elected they could hold them accountable, and they would know exactly what was happening and why it was happening, and not be able, you know, and not be fooled by, you know, some of the old line politicians who were still around. So we held a school, kind of the same school new candidates would go through. Phil King, myself, and others put it on. Phil King, a representative from Weatherford, a good conservative, and we had several hundred people that came that day. And beginning of that, we started the Tea Party Advisory Board, to where people around, and I had nothing to do with selecting them. I let the Tea Party all select themselves and come. And we met about every 3 or 4 weeks during the 11 and 13 session. And we learned a lot from them, and they learned a lot from us. And together, at the end of the day, we accomplished a lot together. So it was really exciting, and those great folks are all supporting me now. But, Michael, I didn't form that Tea Party caucus because I thought I'd run statewide one day. I just thought it was the right thing to do. And I decided to run for lieutenant governor, yeah, because I just thought we need new, bold, conservative leadership as lieutenant governor. And I think you can see, Michael, that we are winning this on the debate and the public policy, because the only thing my opponent right now is doing, David Dewhurst is doing, is spending millions of dollars attacking me for things that are totally untrue, innuendos, half-truths, and even where he has a few facts, it's 30 years ago. Nothing about my record, nothing about my time in the Senate, and he hasn't run one ad on why he should be reelected. I appreciate his public service. He's done some good things. It's time after 12 years to move on.
Well, and Senator Patrick, you know, I am – you're absolutely right. And I want to really focus on you, but I want to mention that debate of the other night. And it's the same thing that we saw against Mayor Castro. The only thing that our opponents, Senator Patrick, can do is attack you personally. They can bring no valid argument to the table of debate. And it's because they have no valid argument. One of the first things that attracted to me to you was your strong Christian pro-life stance. You authored the Sonogram bill. And I'm an immigration hawk. Your stance on anti-sanctuary city, so on and so forth and the like. My only question for you today, sir, and then Scott will have a question on education, which,
yeah,
by the way, on that Common Core C-Scope issue, you did everything you could do, and I thank you for that. I just want to set the record straight on that. In fact, you even
the Dewhurst team, paid team and volunteer team, are just spreading total lies about that whole issue, and I'll address that in a moment. But go ahead, ask your question. I'm sorry.
Three quick bullet points, sir, on the border and anti-sanctuary cities. The problem that we have with those folks from south of the Rio Grande, most of whom are from Central and South America. You know, I think our Tejano brothers and sisters feel a little bit differently. So three points on that, and then I'll let Scott ask you a question, sir, and then turn the floor over to you.
Sure. Quick 3 points, and you are right. The vast majority of people now crossing the border from Central America, more than Mexico, no one should cross the border illegally. That's, you know, always been my position. We need strong border security. The governor in the debate the other night, the lieutenant governor, rather, said, you know, we're going to have another surge. Look, he's been lieutenant governor for 12 years. This past session, he cut spending for border security and fighting criminal gangs, and now out of session in a campaign where he is desperately trying to hold on to power, he suddenly now is going to have a surge. Look, as lieutenant governor, I'm not going to have any surges. I'm going to have a 24/7, 365 program, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to be cutting border security funding. We're going to do it to do what we need to do to secure the border. For this reason, Michael, and for listeners, I believe, as I know all your listeners believe, in a robust legal immigration system that we control. Right now, the drug cartels are in control of who's coming here, not the United States of America. We must put America first and Texas first. And we're not going to get Washington, Republicans, or Democrats to pass legal immigration reform until we secure the border. I would argue that there's some Republicans in Washington that want cheap labor, and Democrats want future voters. So both right now are getting what they want because we have, you know, 20 to 30,000 people a week crossing the border as our best estimate. Obviously, if everyone was crossing, we'd catch everyone. But we think we get one out of every four, and from 2006 to 2012, over that six-year period, we apprehended 1,134,000 people crossing the border. That means 4 or 5 million got through. We put 141,000 people in our jails in Texas, hardened criminals. We charge them with 500,000 crimes, 3,000 rapes, 2,000 murders. These aren't people who are coming here looking for a job, Michael, and getting speeding tickets. These are people who are hardened criminals coming to this state, and we can't accept that. You know, Lieutenant Governor, my number one priority is your public safety. Protect your life, your family's life, and your property. And so as Lieutenant Governor, that's what I'm going to do. We'll end in-state tuition. You know, our current Lieutenant Governor, he allowed a bill to go pass out of the Senate that would have given free health care. I mean, this was before Obama was anyone knew his name. This is back in 2003. The Lieutenant Governor allowed a bill to come out to give free health care, not emergency health care to illegals. And, of course, he expanded in-state tuition in 2005, something he now says he's against. He is tough on the border in a campaign, and then he does very little after. So with that, let me take your – and let me speak real quick to the Common Core and the C-Scope. The C-Scope battle this year was a battle I don't take credit for. I give credit to the grassroots moms and dads who brought all this information to us. We had hearings. We did everything they asked us to do. We've got lesson plans online. We shut down the main C-Scope entity. And then they agreed not to put the lessons and sell them anymore. We thought it was over at that point. And then a lawyer said, well, now that they're online, which is what we wanted to do so the public could see them, the lawyer said, well, you know, they're still can be used because they're public domain. So Greg Abbott and I, as governor, lieutenant governor, we both said the same thing. We're going to put a stake through the heart of it next session. I had a bill last session that would have said any lesson plan written before 2013 by the Regional Service Centers for C-Scope cannot be allowed in schools. And that's what we'll pass, and that will end it. On Common Core, Dan Huberty in the House brought me a bill at the end of session. It was the last one I passed. I was chair of education. And it was to stop Common Core from coming to Texas. So when you read about these, you know, the Internet and all these emails that go out, you know, I see them occasionally, that people are saying just the opposite. It's the Dewhurst campaign continued stream of lies about the record, about me. That's the only way they can campaign. House Bill 462 says, no federal curriculum can come into Texas unless the legislature approves it. And the reason we want to put it in the legislature's hand, because the people will hold the legislature accountable. Before that bill, a future governor, maybe even the education commissioner, could have brought in a curriculum like Common Core. Is it still out in some of our schools? Yes. We have 300,000 teachers, 8,500 principals plus, 1,100 school districts. There will always be a rogue district teacher or principal who will try to sneak something in the classroom door. That's why we have to have parents and school boards to be vigilant. But we put a stop to it, and anything you read on the Internet otherwise, it's just not true. So let's go to Adam's question.
Well, and let me just back that up real quick, Senator Patrick.
Yes.
I was the guy that brought this to Mark Davis, and he laughed at me at first, but Susan Cloud got on the phone and called you within minutes of me hanging up,
yes.
And then that next day you were on the show. I was involved
yes.
in all of that, and I will verify you can go to – not you, Senator Patrick. Anybody, you can go to danpatrick.org or you can go to conservativenationmedia.com. I have blogged extensively and I tweet extensively the truth. Set aside my love for this man. The truth is what I come with first, and I will verify. Senator Patrick, I want to introduce you real quick to a good buddy of mine. He's got a question about education. He's not yet had the chance to meet you. I hope he does. And that's my brother, Scott Osborne. And then we're going to give you the floor.
I said Adam. I apologize. I meant Scott. Go ahead, Scott. Yes, sir. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dan. It's Senator Patrick. I want to tell you, it's an honor to speak to you. I've known
Thank
Michael
you.
For quite a while, and I know where he stands. And I have not seen him as passionate about a candidate ever as he is about you. So that says a lot in my book. And I want to thank you for what you said about putting a stake through the heart of Common Core and C-Scope, because it's important to me. A year ago, I listened to Phyllis Schlafly, and I learned about Common Core and C-Scope, started fighting it immediately. And we heard last summer that it was totally gone in Texas. And I want to tell you, we moved an entire family from California to Texas for the sole reason of Common Core and C-Scope. I want to take it a level above that, though, because
yeah.
it's more than Common Core and C-Scope. It's about parental sovereignty. you know, I'm homeschooling two of my nieces, and the middle niece decided she wanted to go to school. She's in the Mesquite School District. She's a straight-A student, and not just straight-A's. We're talking close to the 100 percentile. And, you know, her mom was afraid to take her out of school one day to go to the zoo with her sisters because of this truancy law. And the schools made her afraid of even taking her out of the school. That's her parental right if she wants to do that. We've still got data mining going on that's even besides Common Core and C-Scope. I'd like to hear your plans forward as we go into this. I want to know how we're going to – I want to put a border up around Texas that ensures us that our schools have got local sovereignty, that our parents have got their sovereignty over their students, and that we have put a stake through the heart of every last piece of Common Core and C-Scope. The last show I talked about it, I said it this way. I want to see that sucker ripped out by the roots, and I want to see Roundup sprayed all over the area which it was in. The left has been trying for decades to accomplish the task. I know we've got superintendents that are being trained specifically to go towards the left. What is the plans for you and Greg Abbott as we go forward next year to totally make sure that our parents, their sovereignty over their kids is totally insured?
Well, Scott, first of all, you hats off for homeschooling. We now are up to 300,000 children. We don't know the exact number, but that's our best estimate by the Homeschool Association. And Tim Lambert and the homeschoolers have endorsed me. They endorsed me when I first ran. The only group that endorsed me back in 2007. I've been a strong homeschool advocate. And for people who don't know the history, as you do, Scott and Michael, back in the 80s, you weren't even allowed to homeschool your own children. And so it's been a big fight. And so now we're up to 300,000 students. We have 5 million in regular public schools. So, we're getting to the point where, it's going to be 10% in the very near future. I'd like to see it even higher. When I look at local control, Scott, we always hear that. We want local control. The ultimate local control is in the family. It's up to our schools don't own our kids. Our children belong to God, and they belong to their parents. And parents should make that decision. That's why I'm a big school choice advocate, a charter advocate. You have a right to have your children learn where you think it's best for them. So we will always fight that reform. We will always fight to continue to do that, protect parents' freedom. I know Tim Lambert, again, who heads up the Homeschool Foundation, he's done a great job for a long time. They're very focused on that issue and fight when they need to in the courts and raise money to fight for parents to keep freedom and keep their children. I will also say this, though, Scott. I have to be honest with you. I'm one guy in a state of 25 million people, and I can work 15 hours a day, which I do normally. I can put my heart and soul in it. But at the end of the day, I have to, as I said a moment ago to Michael, look to the parents in the districts. I mean, that's how we found out about C-Scope. That's how we learned so much about Common Core. And the most important election in my mind, Scott and Michael, is the school board election. Your local school impacts your community. It reflects the values and principles of your community. And it's hard to get people to run. But we have to get good conservatives who want to protect our liberty and our parents and school and the choice of those parents and education. We have to elect them to the school board. As you know, most school board elections, very, very small turnout. We have to turn that around. There is no way that anyone, Ronald Reagan himself, could come back and run the state of Texas, and he wouldn't be able to keep an eye on 300,000 teachers and 8,500 K-12 schools and 1,100 school districts. What we have to do is pass strong legislation that protects the family, protects our schools, keeps Common Core out and C-Scope out, and then when we have the violators, which we will have, then we need to be aware of that. We need the parents to respond and school boards to respond and take action at the local level and then bring it up to the state level to take any other action that's needed. There's always going to be, it's like, any law. You can put a speed limit, and I'm glad we increased it a few years ago, but there's always going to be someone at speed. You can pass a law that you can't steal. Someone's going to steal. You can pass a law on anything, and there will be people who go outside the law. And that's the same, in education or any other public entity. So when we find people who are circumventing the will of the people, the will of the conservative legislature, then that's when we can act.
Well, Senator Scott, we're we're taking a lot. We're taking. I'm stealing a little more of the senator's time than you meant to.
That's fine.
Thank you, Senator Patrick. I really do appreciate it. We've got TJ Fabby holding for House District 10. We want to get you all the help we can down there. But real quickly, Senator Patrick, I wanted to give you just a few minutes, if you can, just talk to the folks like you did on my mom's back porch up there on the lake. And then I have a special message that I want to send to Mrs. Patrick just to wrap up before you go.
Okay.
Finish doing what you have to do,
sure. Sure. Thank you, Michael. Folks, I'm in my 60s now, folks, and I feel young. I've got great health. But I didn't want to be in my 80s one day and look back when I was in my 60s and say I didn't have the courage or the stamina it took to run for this office. And I say that, you know, we've been going for almost a year nonstop. I did almost 900 events in 5 months and speeches and meetings and interviews, and happy to do it. But the courage it took was to take on a sitting lieutenant governor who's worth $200 or $300 million by his own statements, who I knew would run a campaign against me like we've seen before. And that is, he never runs an ad on why he should be elected. He never runs an ad on public policy. All he does is run ads on attacking his opponent and smearing his opponent with lies and untruths and innuendo. And the ads, he spent $2 million in the last 2 weeks to get people to say, what about this guy? Look, I'm a Christian first, a conservative second, a Republican third, as Michael always knows I say. I want to serve the people of Texas. And you have to put all that political nonsense on the side and look at public policy. Look at the records. Who's the most conservative? Who's going to show up for work? I'm not going to sit here and criticize him or attack him on personal things, but that's how he's going to run his campaign. He's going to do it 3 more weeks. And when you see that happening, as Margaret Thatcher said, when the personal attacks begin, you know the political argument has been lost by that side. So as you see that, just remember that. I'm going to secure the border. I'm going to lower your property taxes. I'm going to pass campus carry. I'm going to pass broader school reforms and school choice. And I'm not going to allow and appoint half the Democrats to be chairman of committees as he has done for the last 12 years. If you haven't gotten it done in 12 years, folks, as lieutenant governor, why give someone 4 more years? I'm going to serve 2 terms. That's it, term limit myself, at 8 years. And I'm gone. My wife will insist on it, I assure you. I believe, I said this in the debate the other night, and I'll close with this, Michael, so I don't take too much time. People ask me all the time, you know, what's the Tea Party about, since they see me as the Tea Party grassroots candidate. And I said, I believe the Tea Party is going to save this country. I know it's the strong arm in Texas now in politics. It has been for a long time. What is a Tea Partier? Someone who loves America and the Constitution, loves Texas, loves free markets, loves the Second Amendment. Loves liberty and the God who gave it to us. They agree with our founding fathers, certain inalienable rights granted to us by our creator, not government. That's what I'll fight for. That's what I've always been. My record is solid, 16,000 votes, 4 years. I need your vote. I need your help. Go to danpatrick.org. You can sign up for our Facebook page, our Twitter account, danpatrick.org, to get all the facts on any questions you have. And, Michael, thank you for having me today. We're very blessed. One of the great things, Michael, about running a statewide campaign, you get out to meet people all over this great state, and we've been everywhere, and we've met great people, and I thank you and your family for the hospitality of being on that back porch up at your house. It was very nice. It was a very relaxing evening. Thanks, Michael.
Well, thank you, Senator Patrick, and real quickly, I have a message from the grassroots to Mrs. Patrick, as well as Mrs. Abbott, Mrs. Christian, Mrs. Paxton, and Mrs. Miller. And, you know, when I think of those ladies, Mrs. Patrick, I am reminded of another strong lady that wrote to her husband, John, on October 25th, 1782. Yet no man liveth for himself, says an authority I will not dispute. Let me draw satisfaction from this source, and instead of murmuring and repining at my lot, consider it in a more pleasing view. Let me suppose that the same gracious being who first smiled upon our union and blessed us in each other endowed him, my friend, with powers and talent for the benefit of mankind, and gave him a willing mind to improve them for the service of his country. Sir, no one ever asks how Mrs. Patrick is doing. I hope she's doing great, and send her my love.
Thank you, Michael. Well, we had 2 new grandchildren in January and February. We have we already had a grandson who's 3 and a half. So she traveled, as you know, the campaign trail with me about 80% of the time. But Now, the last couple of months, she's been helping my daughter-in-law and my daughter with the two new grandbabies. I'm blessed. After 39 years of marriage, I have two great children. My son is a criminal court judge. My daughter's a nurse. Son and great son-in-law and daughter-in-law. I'm just really blessed to have this opportunity. Everyone thinks we're going to win. We believe we're going to win, but we don't win if people don't show up to vote. And it's going to be a very small turnout election, and so we need to be able to get all of our voters out starting the 19th of May. And, of course, the election is the 27th on the Tuesday after a three-day holiday weekend, and that's why the turnout's going to be very low. And we just have to get our grassroots out. Thank you, Michael. I don't want to take any more time. You've been very gracious to have me on. Scott, nice meeting you by phone. We'll see you in person one of these days. Thanks.
Look forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Patrick. And, folks, that's Senator Dan Patrick, the next lieutenant governor of the great state of Texas. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, TJ Fabby, Mr. Fabby, hang tight. I know we're running a little late today, but we did have Senator Patrick on. We just got to make a few dollars, and we'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security, protection for their kids, and gun-free zones for ours.
For the average person, many of folks who don't have health insurance initially, they're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors.
If you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it.
The average person, they're going to have to make some choices. Might end up having to switch doctors.
If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it.
They're going to have to make some choices. Might end up having to switch doctors.
No matter how we reform healthcare, we will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor. Period.
They might end up having to switch doctors. They're going to have to make some choices.
If you like the doctor you have, you can keep your doctor, too.
To switch doctors.
The only change you'll see are falling costs as our reforms take hold.
You may find out that that network's more expensive than another network, and then you've got to make a choice for, in terms of what's right for your family.
Nobody is talking about reducing Medicare benefits.
They're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors.
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Minutes after the top of the hour. Folks, we're running behind today, running about 5 minutes behind, and I've got guests stacking up, so we're going to move right into it. This is the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. We're going to be running a little bit late on our breaks, so everything's going to back up just a little bit because I want to get our next candidate on, and then we have a good friend of mine, Her Honor, Representative Stephanie Click of House District 91, who is going to just start off the rest of the last hour of the show talking about how important this election is coming up on the 27th of May. Mr. Fabby, thank you for joining me today. Introduce yourself. Let's get this thing going, buddy.
Hey, Michael, this is TJ. I'm out block walking today in the eastern part of our district down here in Ellis County, and I am the Tea Party grassroots candidate for District 10, House District 10, a seat that is currently held and has been held for a long time by a lieutenant of Joe Strauss, Jim Pitt, a top lieutenant of Joe Strauss, Jim Pitts, who was also the House Appropriations Chair, a very powerful man in the state of Texas, and I ran against him in 2012. Was the one of the founding members of the Ellis County Tea Party movement, and decided to run against him because he had only had one primary opponent in all those years, and decided that he needed a conservative opponent in the primary. Had about $8,000 to run on last time, and pulled in almost a third of the vote in a four-way race against him, and was very proud of that, and built a very large support base. And this time around, we have just continued to build on that. And in the primary, we were the top vote getter at about 38% of the vote. Wasn't enough to win, but it was enough to get the establishment candidate into a runoff. And I'm confident that we will be victorious on May 27th.
Well, TJ, you just recently came to my knowledge. I'm up here in Tarrant, as you know. I do have my origins, though, in Navarro County. I'd sure wish we could get someone to run against Brian Cook. But you're absolutely right. You're running against one of the last one or two Strauss candidates. So it's imperative that we get you in and 10 down there so you can battle along with Matthew Krause and Stephanie Click and, you know, all of the other the changes that we've made in Austin. excuse me. So you're running, you're up against Mr. Pitts. We go into this runoff on the 27th. The website is tjfabby.com. Jimmy Kerr and Jonathan Strickland are how I found out about you. And, of course, I've, you know, been trying to put out what I could with all of the other candidates that I support, even that I can't vote for. We get you down to the House. Which I feel like is going to happen. We're seeing some great changes this year. Obviously, we've got a man in Representative Scott Turner that we'd like to see as the Speaker of the House. I'm assuming that you're all for that?
Absolutely. At first, I want to clarify that I'm not running against Jim Pitts this time. He is not seeking reelection.
Oh, okay. I might add.
I am running against the mayor of Waxahachie, John Ray, who yep. Jim Pitts has gotten behind, the establishment has gotten behind. All of the same players that were backing Jim Pitts are backing John Ray. So the dynamics of the race have changed slightly, but you still have the establishment versus the conservative Tea Party type candidate. And but as far as Scott Turner goes, he has endorsed my candidacy here. And there's no doubt in my mind that if I do win this race, he will have my vote for Speaker of the House.
And now I've got one question for you, and then my brother Scott will have a question for you. And then basically we just want to let you, like I told Senator Patrick, these interviews with folks that are in the runoff are like that. Just imagine yourself in a cyber backyard, and you've just got hundreds of people sitting around you. And you're just talking to them one-on-one. That's really what I want to do, TJ. I'm an immigration hawk. I want and demand of my representatives strong, strong votes on securing our border. Your top three bullet points. How does TJ Fabby see us securing our border in the light of the massive amount of illegal immigration activity that we see?
Right. Well, first I want to say that it is very crucial that Texas take the lead on this issue. We have given the federal government ample opportunity to address this issue under Republican leadership, under Democrat leadership, and the issue is not being addressed. And for us to keep putting this off and waiting for the federal government to do it is stupidity, in my opinion. It's not going to happen, obviously. So Texas needs to take the lead. I am in support of whatever measures we can take to secure the border, whether that be employment of the State Guard, employment of state troopers on the southern border, game wardens, or whatever, whatever law enforcement we need to use, we need to put them on the border and secure our border first and foremost before we address anything else. Another thing, you know, I'm a very big advocate for property rights, and unfortunately in Texas we don't have property rights because none of us own our property. We have property taxes, which prohibits true property ownership, and you are basically, as a property owner, you're paying rent for the rest of your life indefinitely to the government, and if you don't, they can come and take your property, so you really don't own that property. And the reason why I move from immigration to this issue is because if we would do away with the property tax, move to a more broad-based sales tax to fund our public education. You know, right now, most illegal immigrants, their children that are here are getting free education because they're not paying for it. Most of them do not own property. And the majority of illegal immigrants rent, and so they're not contributing to the tax base that pays for our public education. If we would move from a property tax to a more broad-based sales tax, this is one of the another problem that this would solve. You would all of a sudden have illegal immigrants paying their fair share for their kids' education in Texas, and I'm a big believer in turning off the magnets that are drawing people in, drawing illegal immigrants in. I'm a big advocate for legal immigration. Love legal immigrants, and some of the most ardent opponents of illegal immigration are legal immigrants because they did it the right way, and they don't like the fact that people are able to cut in line. And the thought of amnesty really drives them crazy because they did this the right way, and the thought of a whole bunch of people just coming in and being able to receive amnesty and not having to prove their allegiance to this country, prove their allegiance to our way of life, that's maddening to them, and rightfully so. I think that that's another thing that we can do. We can move to a more broad-based sales tax, and then their kids are not necessarily receiving that free education that they are now.
You know, and I absolutely concur with you. I'm actually glad that you segued and tied that in because that is an issue that's important to me. Scott, go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you for your education question for TJ, and then we're going to give TJ a few minutes just to direct people how they can help and get to know him a little bit, and we're going to take our break and then come out of that with Stephanie Click.
Well, I want to welcome you, Mr. Fabi. I've really enjoyed listening to you so far. I think you're well-spoken, and I just have to agree with you 100%. And I want to tie in with those exact same things, education and our children. Like I told Mr. Patrick, this is more than just Common Core and Cisco. The left has been working to take the sovereignty of the parent away for a long time. Melissa Hart Perry was recently, this last year, said that, you know, we got to get away from this idea that our kids are ours. And so I just kind of want to ask you, when you get to Austin, when it's Representative Fabi, what kind of things can we do to protect the sovereignty of our kids? You know, I moved here about 4 months ago, moved our family here because of my three young nieces, and we were afraid of the sovereignty we were losing in California in the schools. And I get down here and find out that we kind of jumped from the frying pan into the fire in some ways. You know, we've got this law on the books for truancy, and I'm all for trying to solve truancy problems, but we've got a situation where you can't sanitize the world from all problems, and this truancy law, the schools are using it to make the parents afraid to even take their children out of school. I've got a student in Mesquite, one of my girls in Mesquite schools. She's a straight-A student, up in the 97, 98 percentages, and I'm homeschooling the other two. We went to take a trip to the zoo, and my sister was afraid to take her own daughter out of school because the schools made her afraid of doing such, that the CPS is going to show up at the front door, that she's going to get arrested. What is Representative Fabi, when he gets to Austin, going to do to clamp down and to protect the rights of parents, to be parents and to make decisions about their kids? C-Scope and Common Core is a huge piece of that. Data mining, we could go through all kinds of things. But it is an overall problem that we're having across the United States. How do we fix that?
Well, first of all, hello, Scott. Thank you for the question. It's a great question. First, I want to tell you that I'm a homeschooled parent. My wife and I have two children, a six-year-old and an eight-year-old, and we homeschool them. I get a lot of attacks from public school teachers, especially some of the ones that that are involved in the teachers' associations here in Texas that resemble very closely teachers' unions. They believe that I'm anti-public education. And I want to make clear that I'm not anti-public education. I do believe that the Texas Constitution requires that we provide a free public education for Texas children, and that we should do that in the most effective way that we can. But the reason why we homeschool our kids is because we have not given up on Texas teachers. So many of the times Texas teachers' hands are tied by the system, and that's what we have given up on. We've given up on the Texas system of education, and it's something that needs a lot of work. We need to look at our education system and find out what is going to, you know, the best way for us as parents to protect our kids and to make sure that they're receiving a proper education is to get involved. Right. And that's why we homeschool our kids. That's as involved as you can get in your kid's education. And so I would just encourage every parent that can hear my voice right now to just get involved in your kid's education. Be involved, whether they're in public schools, in a private school, in a charter school, or if they're homeschooled. Be involved. Know what's going on. And if there's something that you don't like, stand up and speak out against it. Take an active role in your community, in your public education community, in your school districts, and take that active role and be the protector. You are the one that can protect your kids more than anybody else. Don't rely on the state to protect your kids. But as a state lawmaker, I will work to make sure that we are not wasting money in our public education. One thing that I support is the abolishment of the Texas Education Agency. I think it's a waste of money. I think that the State Board of Education can handle all the duties that they currently have, plus the duties of the Texas Education Agency, and then all of those decision-making responsibilities are put in the hands of people who are accountable to voters instead of in the hands of people who are appointed. And so that's one thing that I'd like to do is abolish the Texas Education Agency, and it would save us a lot of money. I'm a big supporter of local control. I think I'm sitting here at a Dairy Queen in Ennis right now, and nobody knows how to educate the kids here in Ennis better than the parents and the teachers in this community. And so what I'd like to move away from is this idea that a bureaucrat down in Austin, and especially a bureaucrat over in Washington, D.C., knows better how to educate the kids here in Ennis than the people right here. I want to give these people in this community as much control over their kids' education as we possibly can.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I appreciate that.
TJ, just real quickly, about 30 seconds. I'm sorry, I'm running terribly late. Senator Patrick had a lot more to say than I had planned for, and I've got Stephanie waiting online, and I'm running late, but it's tjfabi.com. Just real quickly, take 30 seconds for the folks. Tell them what you need to tell them. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay. Yes, it's tjfabby.com. We are down to less than a month before this election. I've worked for the last 4 years to try to win HD 10 for conservatism, for limited government, and for more freedom. And I would appreciate anybody who can hear this, whatever you can do to help. If you can volunteer some of your time to come and block walk with us, if you can volunteer some of your time to come and work a poll for us during early voting or on election day, or if you can send us a few bucks, anything helps, and it would be greatly appreciated, and it would help us to win one more house for limited government and one less for the establishment. And so I appreciate you having me on your show. It's been a pleasure, and now I've got to get back to block walking.
Thank you very much, TJ. Metroplex, did you hear that? Morgan McComb. I know we're busy with Connie and our other candidates. We need some block walkers down there in Ellis County. Thanks a lot, TJ. We'll talk to you later. Folks, I got to make a few bucks. We'll be right back with Representative Stephanie Click.
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border, and I'll end sanctuary cities, and I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor.
In the race for Attorney General, there's only one constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz.
Ken Paxton stands and fights, whether it's against Obamacare, whether it's fighting for voter ID, or whether it's fighting to defend our religious liberty. And I'm proud to say Ken Paxton is my friend and fighting hard for the state of Texas.
Ken Paxton, endorsed by Texas Right to Life, A-rated by the NRA. He'll defend our Constitution.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
I can't wait to say goodbye before you break in.
I get all the chances of the socialist and the
All right, and it is 17 minutes after the top of the hour. This is the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm going to bring her right in. My friend, I've walked blocks for this lady. She was our former Tarrant County GOP chairman. She's now House District 91. She is with what was the Tarrant Gang of Six. Now it's the Tarrant Gang of Eight. And that's my friend, the Honorable Representative Stephanie Click. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us today. I asked you on, as we discussed, because I did have Senator Patrick on, and then I had TJ Fabby on, and I wanted to end the show with a sitting representative such as yourself, as well as we're going to have Fran on next, who's the vice president of Northeast Tarrant Tea Party, as well as Kelly Cannon, who is the vice president of the Arlington Tea Party, just to kind of go over, you know, the importance of the races that are coming up. I know who you support, but I'll let you discuss that how you wish. But the importance of this runoff, I think we've made changes, and I think, Stephanie, you in Tarrant County, as our chairman, you witnessed, as the GOP chair, you saw the evolving of folks like myself, conservative grassroots people, Julie McCarty, all the, you know, Vicki Underhill, all the various, Kelly Cannon, all the various folks in Tarrant County, Fran, that have help change the face of Austin where we sent you. So that's why I asked you on today, was to address that, because I don't think, Stephanie, I'm really afraid for our future, for my kids' futures, for your grandkids, that grandbaby of yours that you post all the time. I'm afraid for our children.
Well, it's time for people to get off the couch and quit complaining, and they need to use good old-fashioned shoe leather to help these worthy candidates cross the finish line May 27th. You know, the May 27th election, with it being right after a holiday, it's going to be a low turnout election. So the grassroots activists that show up and cast a ballot, their vote is going to be far more influential than in any other election. And the time to help these candidates is now. And the most effective thing we can do, and this has been bore out again and again the last two election cycles, block walking, where the candidate and activists talk directly to the voter.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my fellow field representatives, I don't really want to talk about who I support. I mean, everybody probably knows, but I shouldn't do it on this show. But Celinda with Dan Patrick and Libby Goines with Ken Paxton and me out for the candidate that I work for. And then you and Representative Zedler, y'all came out, and we didn't have as high a turnout as we would had hoped. But y'all came out, and you spoke to us, and you motivated us. And Connie Burton's group's been out doing it all over the county. I think most folks right now locally are helping Connie, and I'm glad for that. So you're absolutely right. We have to get out, and we have to beat leather on the ground. Representative Click, let's talk a little bit about the changes that we have made and the good stuff that we have done. You, Matthew Krause, Gio, Kepper Glione, Jonathan Strickland, Craig Goldman. Now we're going to have Tony Tenderholt down there along with that great conservative Bill Zedler. We get the change in leadership. You know, if we get TJ in down there and some of the other changes we've made, we're going to be able to make that change in leadership that we've been wanting to make. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but as just Michael Smith, the grassroots activist, everybody knows how I feel about changing that leadership down there so that y'all, the Tarrant Gang of Eight, can actually do along with Matt Rinaldi and the other folks what I think is going to change the face of politics in Texas and in Washington, D.C.
You're absolutely right. You know, we went in with guns a-blazing last session with a whole big crop of conservative freshmen, but we needed bigger numbers to be able to make the changes that we all hope to change. This cycle, we have the opportunity to bring friends back with us in January. And, you know, those increased numbers are important for reform, for spending reform, for, you know, tax reform, for changes in who the leadership might be in the House. But we've got to have the numbers.
Well, Stephanie, I'd like to, just in our remaining moments, and thank you so much for joining us today, I'd like to introduce you to my friend that just recently moved here from California that back when you and I first met, when I was the Texas State Social Media Director for Herman Cain, my brother Scott Osborne, let him ask a question. Scott?
Hey, it's nice to have you on, Stephanie. You're doing great work. I know that. I keep track of what's going on over there on Michael's side of the Metroplex. And you guys, all of you guys, his Gang of Eight over there is working hard. You guys are in Austin. What's going? You know, we've talked about Common Core and C-Scope and parental sovereignty. What's going on right now in that battle? I believe it's the last battle. I'm like Michael. I worry about the future of my three nieces. I've got three nieces that I've been being an uncle/parent to for the last decade, and their future.
is important to me. I know that C-Scope, Common Core, and a number of other little tentacles are designed to get their wraps around the minds of our kids. I worry about their kids. I worry about my great nieces and my great nephews. What kind of school systems are they going to have? What kind of opportunities are they going to have to just be parents and not have to worry about the state involving themselves? So I want to ask you that basically the same question. What's going on to put a great big wall around our parental sovereignty and the right to raise our kids the way we want to raise them and the freedom to do that without the interference of the state, without their information being data mined and going out of the school? Rules and so on and so forth.
Well, first off, one of the best things that families can do to help their kids succeed, it doesn't matter whether they're in private, public, or homeschools, is parents and families to be actively involved. My own children, I have four, educated at home, in private school, and in public school. And parental involvement, there's nothing that can substitute that. It's hugely important. You know, I believe that parents have the fundamental duty to make decisions about the upbringing of their children, and that includes the educational choices that those parents make. I have a vested interest in this. I have five grandchildren, and, you know, I want them to have good schools. But one of the things that I will encourage you to look at is not all school districts are the same. Some are doing a very good job, and they're respecting the rights of the parents. So, you know, dig a little deeper. Find out, you know, what's going on in your individual school district, and it may be something unique to your district and not an issue in another district.
Cool.
Well,
Scott, anything?
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I just in our last remaining minute here with House Representative Stephanie Click of House District 91, a lady that I've known for several years now, supported as my GOP chair. Which, by the way, Stephanie, Jennifer's doing well in your stead, and you're doing awesome down in Austin. Wow, try to say that. Awesome down in Austin. But you know, I love you. I love what you're doing. Just take a minute, if you will, and let's just – I want to recap and hash on that early vote that's coming up and that vote on the 27th.
Early voting actually starts on the 19th of May. And during early voting, you can vote in any early voting location in your county. And, you know, we've got graduations of high school and college coming up and a holiday weekend. I encourage everybody to put on their calendar right now, May 19th is the first day of early voting, and get yourself to the polls and take your friends with you.
Absolutely. Let's make it a hashtag, Stephanie. Hashtag outlaw Republican. Be cool. Stephanie, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. It's an honor and privilege to have you on, and I thank you very much, and I'll be seeing you probably later this week.
Okay. Have a good
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, buddy. You have a good rest of your Sunday. Folks, this is the Michael Behrman Show. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour. We are running a little bit behind, but next up, we are going to bring in Vice President of the Northeast Texas Tarrant Tea Party, Fran Waters Rhodes, who's going to further this discussion about the candidates we've had on and the elections that are upcoming. 718-305-7176. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
There's only one true conservative running for Texas Senate. Connie Burton, wife, mother, grassroots conservative leader. Connie Burton will stand up for us. Senator Ted Cruz said Connie Burton wakes up every day fighting for liberty and fighting for every Texan. That's why Connie Burton is endorsed by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility and Texas Right to Life. Republican Connie Burton, the only true conservative.
Career politician Lamar Alexander has lost his way. Thankfully, Tennessee conservatives have a better choice. Conservative Joe Carr has a dependable record of standing up for conservative principles. In the Republican primary, conservatives will vote for Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar says we should be patient about fixing the debt. Joe Carr says the debt bomb must be defused now. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Democrats to protect Obamacare from conservative Senator Ted Cruz. Joe Carr stood with Cruz to defund Obamacare. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Barack Obama to reward illegal immigrants with citizenship. Joe Carr led the effort to stop the growth of illegal immigration to Tennessee. The choice is clear. Only Joe Carr, not Lamar, will defend conservative Tennessee principles.
I'm Joe Carr, and I approve this message. Join me at carr4tn.com, paid for by Joe Carr for Senate.
And you're listening to the Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. All right, and it is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Michael B. on the Michael Behrman Show right here on Conservative Nation Media. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. My Twitter is at @CNMHost_Michael. Please follow me to stay on top of all of your political needs. It's my honor now to bring in Fran Rhodes, who is the vice president of the Northeast Tarrant County, Texas Tea Party group. Good friends of mine, basically the group I enjoy the most, aside from Boiling Point, my local Tea Party. Fran, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, and thank you for coming on, Fran. I know that Julie or Fred were busy today. The general flavor of the show today, we started off with Dan Patrick, and then, whoops, my microphone just fell. Then we had on TJ Fabby, and then, of course, we had Stephanie Click on. We're going to have Kelly Cannon on, vice president of the Arlington Tea Party group, after you. We find ourselves coming up on our runoff on the 27th of May. Early voting starts on the 19th. You know, I think you know, most people know, I support Senator Dan Patrick, well, obviously Greg Abbott, Senator Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, and Sid Miller for the statewide races, Connie Burton for SD10, even though I can't vote for her. But these are the folks. And then outside of Texas, we just heard a commercial for Joe Carr over in Tennessee. I've been trying to help some folks like Matt Bevin and Nancy Mace outside of Texas. Fran, I asked you to be on today as a leader in one of the biggest Tea Party groups in Texas, in particular Tarrant County, a county which has led the way in Tea Party politics and the grassroots movement, to give us a little bit of input from where the Northeast Texas Tarrant Tea Party is at. You know, why y'all you endorsed all the candidates I support as a group. Most of the leadership, I believe, has endorsed the same. You know, we're changing the face of politics in Texas, and I don't. You know, we've got friends in Tennessee. I've witnessed those Tea Party groups actually battle one another, whereas here in Texas, ours have been able to come together. And we've actually been able to affect politics in Austin in a very big way.
Yes, I think that's so exciting. And before I comment further on that, I just want to clear up one tiny little thing. I am not the vice president of Northeast Tarrant Tea Party. I am a board member, but not the vice president.
Oh, my apologies. Okay.
That's okay. Just, you know, full disclosure. I wanted to make sure everybody understood that. But, yes, I think you're right. Northeast Tarrant Tea Party has developed a reputation of one of proven leadership in the grassroots arena, and we're very proud of that, and we plan on continuing that. I think we were instrumental in getting people like Representative Click, who you just talked to, and Matt Krause and Giovanni and Jonathan Stickland, and we have worked very hard to increase those numbers, and it looks like we are succeeding on that front this time around as well. We recently took a poll of our leadership group, which is our board members, officers, and steering committee members on the runoff elections, and we are all in favor of Senator Patrick, Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, Sid Miller, Connie Burton. We are, however, split 50-50 on the race for the Tarrant County Justice of the Peace in Precinct 3. That's Lenny Lopez and Russ Casey, and our group seems to be 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, and I'll say, just from the point of view of Conservative Nation Media and me, Michael, the founder of that and the guy that heads up the Texas division of that, I like Lenny Lopez. But, you know, Fran, you've been – I know, you know, we've – I just recently actually met you, though we've run in the same circles for years now.
Mm-hmm.
In the 83rd legislature, in part due to a lot of the work that y'all's board, Julie and Fred did, we made some big changes down in Austin. I think this year with the 84th legislature, we're going to see, you know, I didn't get to mention this when Senator Patrick was on, for our folks that are outside of Texas, they don't understand. With all due respect to the governor's chair, technically the most powerful man in Texas is the lieutenant governor by virtue of the
Absolutely.
Fact that he's the president of the Senate and sets the agenda. He sets the calendar. If we have, in which I believe we're going to have, a lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, we're going to have president of the Senate, Dan Patrick. We've made some fantastic changes in the Senate. We're going to, I think, have Steve Toth down there. And some other, hopefully Bob Hall, and some other, you know, Don Huffines, some other good changes. We've added to the numbers that you just spoke about to give Matt Krause and Gio and John and Stephanie, you know, we've added Tony Tinderholt, mm-hmm. you know, obviously Bill Zedler. We've added over on the Dallas County side, Matt Rinaldi. All over the state, we've added away from Joe Strauss's lieutenants. Your thoughts on the 84th legislature? Are we going to? I think we're going to see something that is going to be just sort of perhaps a miracle as far as getting done the agenda that we want done.
Yes, we're very excited about those possibilities. With high hopes for Senator Patrick winning as lieutenant governor, and as you said, the control of the Senate, it's such a key role, and we feel in past years, in past sessions, we've been very, very frustrated at having to fight fellow Republicans who are not so conservative and who side with Democrats and vote with Democrats and fight the conservative grassroots movement pretty much every step of the way. So we feel like with Senator Patrick, we will have more of a friend there, someone with a more common sense approach to appointing committee chairman and assigning legislation to the various committees and controlling that whole process. And we are also hoping to find the same thing, a change in leadership in the House and possibly not having Joe Strauss as speaker this time around.
And you know,
very
Fran, I really
potential.
Think. Oh, it is, and I really think that we're going to see that change in leadership in the House, and I believe we're going to see, which is going to be truly remarkable, on many different historical levels, Speaker of the House Scott Turner.
Yes.
I believe that's what we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
You know, it's funny. And when we talked earlier in the week, you told me that you had two functions at church today, and you were just talking about something. And it reminded me of Matthew chapter 5, number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger the thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what we've been doing for the last 5 years here in Texas. And I believe we're about to be filled. I really do.
Yeah.
But I want to.
I think you're right.
I want to bring in my friend Scott Osborne, who's actually over in Dallas County in Mesquite, and see if he's got a question for you, Fran.
Okay.
Hi, Fran. It's nice to meet you. It's always good to meet those that Michael has put me together with and networked. I'm living in Texas. It's only been 4 months. You know, I really don't have any questions. I do want to throw in there ditto sentiments on getting Scott Turner in leadership. You know, it's not enough just to have a bunch of conservatives that we send to Austin. If they don't have adequate leadership in order to take and accomplish the things that we as conservatives know that we need to do in order to protect and keep Texas, Texas, we are in a mess, and I think Texas has found that out in the last few years. With Joe Strauss at the leadership helm. I believe that Washington, D.C.'s found that out by having John Boehner at the leadership helm. And so I just want to throw in there big dittos to that. I believe that Scott Turner has got what it takes to lead us and to continue to provide the freedoms for the reason why we moved here to Texas. We moved here. We didn't just move here because we liked the flag. That's a beautiful flag. But we moved here because it wasn't California. And it's going in a different direction than California. California is going one direction. We're going the other, almost the same size state with the same resources and the same potential. But Texas is a lot better. So I just want to say it's nice to meet you, Fran. Looking forward as the years go on to working with you on different projects and supporting you in everything you do.
Well, thank you, Scott. I think you're so right in everything you said, and I too moved here to Texas from California 20 years ago, and it was probably one of the best things that we ever did, and we love living in Texas. But I think you hit on a key point there. It's leadership. Leadership is so important in every aspect of our lives, but particularly in our government. And when we have leadership that panders to their own political advantage and their own power rather than doing what's right for the people, then we go nowhere. And it's just time for fresh faces in the leadership in Texas, and I really believe we're going to get it this time.
I agree.
Absolutely. Well, Fran, thank you so much for joining us today and adding to this conversation. Just real quickly, 30 seconds. I want you to pound into the people that are listening that are here within our borders, that is between the Sabine and El Paso and the Red River and the Rio Grande at Brownsville, what they need to do starting on the 19th.
They need to go out and vote. Voter turnout is just such an embarrassment almost anywhere in the country. When you look at the number of voters that are eligible to vote and the ones who actually do, it's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. So please, please, please go and vote. You have plenty of time left to do it. And even right now, municipal elections, I think, in most parts of the state are going on right now. Don't forget about those either. Your school boards, your city councils, your mayors, we need you to get out there and cast a vote. It's the very least that you can do as a citizen.
Absolutely. Fran, thank you so much, my friend. Give my best to Julie and Fred. I'll be seeing you down the road probably. I know I will. And thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. It
bye-bye.
Is 43 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got our last guest coming up, my sister, Kelly Cannon, who I know for a fact is the vice president of the Arlington, Texas Tea Party, a group that I'll be at this next week representing my boss. And so stick around. We'll be right back. We got to just make a little bit of money and stick around for that outro today. That outro, you know, it was hugely popular in the 1980s after Gaddafi came to power in Libya and those murders occurred. You're going to love it. We'll be right back.
He's fighting to repeal Obamacare.
Who is?
John Ratcliffe, going to stop reckless spending and opposed amnesty for illegal aliens.
We need new leadership in Washington. What's his name again?
John Ratcliffe, former U.S. attorney, defended the Constitution, kept us safe from terrorist threats, and fought fraud and corruption.
Are y'all talking about John Ratcliffe?
Yep, sure would like to meet him.
You just did. Call me John. I'm John Ratcliffe, and I approve this message.
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border, and I'll end sanctuary cities, and I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor.
You're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time.
All right. And this is the Michael Behrman Show here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You can find us at ConservativeNationMedia.com. I've got my brother on, Scott the Oz Osborne from Mesquite, Texas. Our next guest is my sister, this lady, fighting cause of liberty right here in Tarrant County, and has helped affect all of the change that we're talking about and that we've been talking about, and that's my buddy, Kelly Cannon. Kelly, how are you doing today? I know that was not the song. That was not the song, but my genre today was post-punk, and I had to go with it all the way.
Well, I've been listening to your show the whole time. First of all, hi, and thank you for having me. My brother from another mother. I'm actually listening just to hear the song, this mystery song that you keep talking about. I'm really hanging on for that. I can't wait. I am indeed the vice president of the Arlington Tea Party. We've pretty much resurrected ourselves over the last couple of years. We've been dormant, and we've been using the Lone Star Tea Party as our base on connecting with people, and we've got over 1,000 members, and they're all over not only the state but the country. So we're resurrecting Arlington now because there's a need for the more local Tea Party again, and I'm just thrilled as I can be to see us grow again.
It's growing really like crazy. You guys are going to be a powerhouse in Tarrant County.
I hope so. Powerhouses that we can work with others, like the Northeast Tarrant Tea Party and the Boiling Point, all the other ones, every one of them. We need to start working together even more closely to get the right people into office. And this primary was huge. In Arlington alone, we were real happy to get Tony Tenderholt elected outright. In other words, there's no runoff because it was just two people. And
that's the sound of applause right there.
we worked our collective backsides off for that one, and it paid off in spades. It was just awesome. It was a double-digit win for us, and I cannot wait to have him go down to Austin and represent the 94th District. I love it.
Let's back up just a little bit, Kelly. I mean, you and I have known one another for several years, but you and I also supported Dwayne Stovall, and you were his social media director.
Yep.
So you've worn several hats, just as I wear another hat away from this gig. I wear another hat, and I'm very pleased to announce that you came out and personally endorsed my boss, Wayne Christian.
Yes, I did. And a couple of other of our leadership officers also have endorsed him. I don't know if we're on their website yet, but I haven't looked. I just got home a few seconds ago. I'm sorry?
I said the press release is being worked on.
Wonderful, wonderful. I just got home from College Station, so I haven't really had time to check any of that stuff yet.
I was busy last week, as you know, because I communicated with you, touching base, and I'm real proud of the extra endorsements that we got.
Oh, yeah. I'm proud to give them, believe me. I did a little looking into both people in the race, and here's the part that was really hard for me. As you know, Ryan Sitton, his opponent, is an Aggie. So it was real, real hard for me to make that choice, but I did
don't bury the lead, Kelly. Don't bury the lead, folks, because we have a national audience. They don't understand what you're talking about.
Right, right. I chose Wayne Christian over Ryan Sitton for my endorsement for the Railroad Commission. And it was a tough choice. It really was. But in the end, I chose to go with somebody who's got years of experience in the state legislature. So I went with the legislative end as opposed to the oil and gas experience end. And I think
I was going was you're an Aggie, Ryan Sitton's
right.
an Aggie.
right.
It's a legacy thing, folks.
Right.
It's just the way we are in Texas.
Right. And we're loyal to each other to an end, and Aggies will appreciate the tough choice that I made. I hope.
Oh, they certainly will.
But on a lighter note, we at least won the 3-game series against LSU this weekend. So you know, it all pays out. that was baseball.
Well, let's bring our brother Scott, who I think y'all have met on Facebook. I think I've kind of helped to make y'all's paths cross. If they haven't, y'all need to. Scott's a good Kelly. You know, when I first got in this gig, well, not when I first got in, but when I started making my bones was on the Herman Cain campaign. And Scott was one of those folks that helped to manicure me. And so Scott has some great religious programming. He's my brother. I love him to death. Scott, come on in here. I'd like for you to meet my sister, Kelly Cannon. If you guys not met up, y'all have got to meet up.
Hi, Scott. It's a pleasure.
Hey. Hi, Kelly. It's very nice to meet you, too. We're on our way to church right now. Michael, I'm calling in from the road now. I switched phones. We're pulling into the church building. It's been a great show. Kelly, I can't wait to meet you. You know,
likewise.
Well, wait a minute. Actually, y'all did meet, by the way. You met in Navarro County.
Okay.
Oh.
I kind of thought we did, but I wasn't sure.
Kelly was the young lady that introduced Dwayne Stovall.
Okay, yes. And that was an incredible speech on behalf of Mr. Stovall. He was very impressive. We should have had him in the Senate. But, you know, I'll tell you, Kelly, it's for people like you that are working hard to keep the grassroots organized and keeping them going. That's what's winning this. I think we have an incredible primary season. I think with the exception of just a couple of losses, the majority of it was a win. I believe we won big time in showing turnout. You know, the one thing that I noticed that night as we were watching things was when the amount of tweets for Wendy Davis that went out versus the tweets that went out for Dan Patrick Greg Abbott went out. We were beating them by 2/3. And it's because of the tea parties, it's because of the leaders, it's because of the grassroots, it's because of the excitement. And I believe that that's what's going to keep Texas, Texas. And we look forward to this runoff. Of course, we don't want to forget to mention Steve Toth, May 10th. He's got a special election. There's a couple of special elections going on. We've got people out beating the doors down and beating the pavement for that. And then this runoff coming up. And then, boy, we put all gears in and we head towards November. And I'm looking forward, Kelly, to working with you. Anything I can help you with, you let me know. We're friends on Facebook. And with that, Michael, I'll
get back to you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Kelly, just in the remaining few minutes, because I need 3 minutes to end of the show. So
yes, sir.
Two minutes. Give us your thoughts on the upcoming runoff, your selections, which I already know. It's no surprise to me. But as I asked for Fran, what would you say to the folks listening within our borders, the importance of getting out and voting? The floor is yours, my friend.
It is imperative that you get out and vote. But before you get out and vote, you have to at least know who you're voting for. Make an intelligent decision. And like I tell some people, if they want to get out there and vote and they're at the ballot box and they don't know who to vote for in one particular race over another, I say, okay, leave it blank. Don't guess. So it's very important to vote, but you got to know who you're voting for, and you got to be able to believe in who you're voting for. And, of course, for my message to the battleground Texas people, it ain't happening. Not here in this state. Not on my watch. It ain't
happening.
Absolutely.
It ain't happening, sister. That organization
is
dying.
Two more seconds. The Arlington Tea Party is going to be sponsoring on May 18th a block walking party for TJ Fabby, who you just had on a few minutes ago. And I just wanted to make sure I got that plug in and to look for more information on arlingtonteaparty.us.
Absolutely. And, of course, I always push y'all's information because I am a Tarrant County resident. And though my home Tea Party group would be Marie Howard's Boiling Point,
mm-hmm.
I do stay in touch with all of my Tea Party brothers and sisters here in Tarrant County. Kelly, I'm looking forward to seeing you again later this week on the 8th at the meeting with
all right.
TJ Fabby.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Stand by for that mystery song, all right?
All right.
Scott, final words, then we're going into our mystery song.
Well, hey, it's been a great show, Michael. We've enjoyed it. I'm standing out here in front of the church building ready to go in. We got some great candidates. You know, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep supporting these guys. Got to support our Tea Parties. Got to support our good candidates. Got to fight for good leadership one more time. We need Scott Turner as the Speaker of the House. So you guys get on Facebook and look up the information where you can help with that as well and to support all of these great candidates. Don't want to forget to mention Sid Miller and Wayne Christian, the two most important races in Texas right now. They're in the runoff. Let's get good men in there.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. Stand by so you can hear this mystery song. All right, everybody. Are you ready? The first person to tweet the name of this band, @MHost_Michael. That is @CharlieMikeHotel. @OscarSierraTango_Michael. We'll get a CD from Madison Rising, their Star Spangled Banner edition. Tweet the name of this band. God bless America. Join us next week.